Hello, I'm Daryl Root. Welcome to News Folder 19, the podcast for the politically independent and or moderate. This is episode number 143. So let's get into it. News story number 143.1. The board of the Manhattan Metropolitan Transportation Authority, known as MTA, voted to approve the toll rates for Manhattan's congestion pricing program, the first of its kind in the United States. Under the plan, New York City will charge a daily toll of $15 during the day for passenger vehicles driving in Manhattan, south of 60th Street, starting in mid-June. It will charge up to $36 for larger trucks and buses. The MTA states, quote, "This program will reduce traffic in Manhattan's central business district, reduce pollution, and provide critical funding for transit improvements," unquote. And I might add, drive, pun intended, some or many of your customers away. New York says more than 900,000 vehicles enter the Manhattan Central Business District daily, reducing travel speeds to around 7 miles per hour, or about twice the speed of a brisk walk. New York City, which has the most congested traffic of any U.S. city, is set to follow London, which implemented a similar charge 2 decades ago. New York said the charge would cut traffic by 17% and improve air quality and increase transit use by 1% to 2%. So let me get this straight. Reducing traffic by 17% while increasing transit use by 2% to me sounds like a loss of, well, for lack of a better term, customer money. In a typical liberal economic logic, Manhattan expects to generate up to $1.3 billion a year and also support $15 billion in debt financing for mass transit improvement. Perhaps it's just me, but $15 billion for a 2% increase in ridership sounds like a waste of money. Even taxi drivers will have to pay. How much? A $125 surcharge, and I should have said taxi users will have to pay. And if that taxi is an Uber or a Lyft, the users will have to pay $250 per trip. Those fees are in addition to New York's $250 congestion charge for taxis and $275 for Uber and Lyft. So yeah, getting around New York is getting more expensive. Vehicle owners whose adjusted gross annual income is no more than $50,000 may qualify for 50% discounts for some trips. Well, I wonder what kind of hoops one must jump through in order to get that credit. The plan does, however, face a number of legal challenges, including one from New Jersey. Having been to New York City once in my life, all I can say is, why would anyone want to live there? It was the most miserable trip I have ever taken. I'm sorry, New Yorkers, but that's the way I saw it. You had to go inside in order just to get fresh air. If you like this podcast, please consider buying me a cup of coffee or supporting the show at newsfolder19.com/support. Thank you in advance. News story number 143.2. Two small solar manufacturers, Georgia-based Sunea and Canadian-based Helene, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce them, said they are joining forces to make panels that will enable U.S. solar project developers manufacture American-made clean energy equipment. That sounds great, but is it? I guess it depends on whether you like having your hard-earned money stolen from you through taxes to benefit individual businesses via my most hated word, subsidies. The Biden administration claims this as evidence that the highly misnamed Inflation Reduction Act Subsidies are succeeding in building a domestic solar manufacturing industry to compete with China. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen stated, quote, before this administration, solar companies across the United States were struggling, unquote. She noted that 20% of U.S. solar manufacturing jobs were lost between 2016 and 2020. Well, why is that? Could it be because U.S. manufacturers get taxed to the point they can't compete with cheap foreign manufacturers? Let me also note, this is not a new startup. Sunea is simply restarting an idled factory. In other words, it's a bailout for a failed company. Pardon me, but failed companies need to go away to make room for those that know how to succeed. How much is this costing taxpayers? $400 million. Sunea will supply cells to Helene, which will assemble them into panels. The products manufactured via the deal will be able to supply about 2 gigawatts of solar energy, enough capacity to power about 353,000 homes, or about $1,200 per home. That's the price the homeowner should be paying, not the general taxpayer. Solar project builders that use panels containing American-made cells will be able to claim a 10% tax credit, yet another giveaway. That credit, however, has been regarded by developers as elusive because there is no current U.S. supply of silicone-based solar cells. Sunea CEO Cristiano Amoruso stated, quote, this contract is a testament to the effectiveness of the Inflation Reduction Act. We are proud to fulfill our long-standing promise to bring back cell manufacturing to the United States at our Norcross facility, unquote. Which is another way of saying, because we're such huge failures, we had to use the government to force the theft from taxpayers so we could continue to be failures. No, you had your chance. Now step aside for someone else. News story number 143.3. The White House announced new standards for collecting federal data on race and ethnicity, a decision that will touch organizations that receive federal funding, determine how congressional districts are drawn, and whether equal employment policies can be enforced. So, we're going to eliminate racism by gathering even more data on race and ethnicity. How idiotic is that? On one hand, we can only eliminate it by tearing down statues and other symbols of a slave past, but on the other hand, we can only eliminate it by constantly bringing it up. Would you damn liberals make up your mind? The new standards would allow respondents to select multiple options on how they identify and adds Middle Eastern or North African as a new identification category. The move emphasizes the government's attempt to catch up with modern views of racial and ethnic identities in the United States. Here's my modern view. I have none. As long as you work your ass off to be self-supportive and don't cause others harm, I don't care if you're black, pink, green, or kaleidoscope. Federal officials claim they are attempting to capture the complexities of a country that has grown more multiracial. No, they are gathering this data to further divide us, because without division, Congress has little reason to exist. While they won't admit that, here is a statement from one senior official. Quote, our focus here really is on how do we ensure we have high quality federal data on race and ethnicity, unquote. Adding that the new standards will identify different impacts on individuals, programs and services, health outcomes, employment outcomes, educational outcomes, and more. In other words, programs that are used to divide us, since we all know that the loudest cat gets fed first. The new standards by the Biden White House require federal agencies to update their surveys and administrative forms, submit a compliance plan within 18 months, and comply with the updated standards within 5 years. Here's an idea. Since almost all of these agencies have a zero constitutional right to exist, let's eliminate them all. Division in this country will not cease to exist until we eliminate all the programs that create division. Only when everyone is subject to the exact same set of rules can we truly unite and become one. A house divided, like a marriage divided, will fail. I'd like to believe our best days are ahead, but I just don't see it. Not with this administration. The two parties are destroying this country. For those listening to the all-in-one episode, I'll be back shortly.
Only 15% of podcasters will ever earn a single penny in profit. Yet more continue to record for one reason. They enjoy informing and entertaining. If you'd like to support this show, visit newsfolder19.com and click on the Buy Me a Coffee or merchandise links. All donations are greatly appreciated. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to News Folder 19. I just want to give my usual shout outs to Dan Heim, who provides the music for the full podcast episodes, and also to Susan Kennedy, who does the voiceovers for the show. Please consider supporting the sponsor at campridger.net. That's Camp Ridger, RIDGER.net. They make four great blends of spices. They all come in one cup servings. They are all salt free, so everyone can salt to their own individual taste. With that, let's get to news story number 143.4. The Biden administration will finalize a rule aimed at cracking down on short-term health insurance plans. The rule places tighter restrictions on short-term health insurance products that are supposed to serve as a lifeline for more than 1 million Americans who rely on stopgap insurance, such as when switching jobs. Some short-term insurance plans supposedly misled customers into thinking they were buying comprehensive health insurance, but included things like low caps on benefits and no coverage for pre-existing conditions. Quote, "That's not really insurance. Well, that's a scam, and the president really believes that the American people do not want to be taken for suckers," unquote, said an advisor. Well, apparently some American people are suckers if they're too stupid to read what they are signing. For those of us who do read what we are signing and signing up for what we want, leave us the hell alone. The rule finalized by the Department of Health and Human Services would restrict plans to 3 months instead of the present 12 months, with only a short extension rather than up to 3 years. It would also require companies to explicitly and more clearly disclose what's covered and what's not. Okay, I can live with that last sentence. It's about openness. However, the 3-month limit is idiotic. What if someone is on a 6-month sabbatical between jobs, or even a full year? What if all they want is minimal coverage? Someone doing missionary work could easily fall under that time frame and wants. The rest of the article then goes on to talk about Biden's attacks on junk fees, which I do support. However, short-term insurance is not junk fee related. It's insurance, and people should be able to sign up for whatever coverage they and the insurer can agree upon without the government dictating how long the policy can be for. News story 143.5. Four people were killed and seven were hurt in stabbings in Rockford, Illinois recently. A suspect is in custody and was being questioned, according to the police chief. She said one of the people who was wounded remained in critical condition. So, I have one major question. Why is it when four or more people are killed in a shooting incident, it's called a mass shooting, while the word mass is never used when four or more people are stabbed? I never hear it called a mass stabbing. Why not? Mass stabbings happen too. This is at least the third this year, and there were over a dozen last year that I could find rather easily. Police received a medical call at 1:14 p.m., followed by additional calls for police and paramedics. Three people died at the scene. A fourth died at a hospital. The police chief stated, quote, "We don't believe there's any other suspects that are on the run or at large at this particular time," unquote. In addition, the chief also asked residents in the area to review their home surveillance camera footage for anything related to the attacks. The violence came days after a teenage employee of a Walmart in Rockford was stabbed and killed inside the store. In a bit of stupidity designed to make us feel like they're doing something, the mayor wrote on the city's Facebook page that the multiple jurisdictions were working on multiple crime scenes to develop an understanding of what transpired in an effort to prevent this from happening again. Pardon me, but it will happen again, Mayor. Someone hell-bent on destruction will destroy. Safety has and always will be nothing more than an illusion. It's why innocent civilians should be armed, not disarmed, like your liberal state would like people to do. The suspect is a 22-year-old man, I'm going to assume probably with a history of mental issues, for whom signs probably already existed, but I'm just guessing at this stage. One neighbor stated, quote, "You can't rationalize this. It's almost like playing a video game, but it's reality. It makes no sense. It's like Grand Theft Auto," unquote. Another resident stated that the experience of witnessing the arrest was like a movie. Yet another resident stated, quote, "You never expect this here. We have such great neighbors," unquote. Isn't that what they all seem to say when something bad happens? Again, there is no such thing as safety. It's an illusion. Unless you're packing 24/7, you are subject to a crime, and police and government can do nothing about it. Thank you for listening. You know the mantra. Question authority, and always be free.
Thank you for listening to News Folder 19. All rights are reserved and unauthorized use is prohibited. However, you may share the podcast links. Till next time, have a great day.